I'm not really quite sure when, but about 15 years ago, Jerry Sloan, who is the trombone teacher at the school, and I said we wanted to try to get involved in some brass chamber music, and we didn't really have a brass quintet at the time. And somehow or another, I don't really even remember how, we got hooked up with the trumpet teacher at Pittsburgh State University, and we decided to put together a program of music for trumpet, horn, and trombone. And we thought, well, what are we going to call it? Because since it was from two different states and two different universities, we couldn't call it the University of whatever. And so we just said, well, let's see if we can come up with something that has a geographical reference. And, you know, I love the mountains. I can see them from my office. And I said, you know, Boston Mountain, I like that. So somehow or another, we turned all that into Boston Mountain Brass Works. That group really didn't last very long because the trumpet player left not long after we played our first couple of concerts.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, so we hated that because we liked him. He was a good fellow. But when we finally did put a brass quintet together, we were trying to figure out what to call ourselves, and Jerry and I both almost in the same breath said, well, that was a great name and nobody's got it, so let's keep it.
I want to know a little bit about this concert. It looks like we're going from the 18th century into the 20th century for the performance.
That's true, and that's sort of what we do with all of our programs. We try to offer something that might be a favorite from a period for everybody, and at the same time maybe try to open up their perspective a little bit with things that maybe they're not as familiar with. And we're going to start with three movements from, I believe, different symphonies by William Boyce.
The guy who wrote all those really long 5-minute symphonies.
That's right. That's right. And this is a wonderful transcription that the former horn professor at Eastman, right? Is he retired now?
Yeah, he's retired now.
Vern Reynolds did many, many years ago. I think this Brassworks did this, I think, in our first season 8 years ago, maybe. And this is the first time we've come back to it. And now it's got three movements in it. And
from three different symphonies?
I'm not sure, to tell you the truth. I tried to find out. I have a feeling they are from three different, but it could be completely – it could be not. It could be one work. I'm not sure.
Okay, that sounds fun.
So it's early music, light, and you got to come hear Tim be the master of ornamentation in the second movement. I don't play in the second movement, so me and my graduate assistant Tim Daly sort of sit there and listen to all of the ornamentation that he comes up with every time. So
great.
It's very interesting.
When you play in a brass quintet, the trumpets always get to do all the ornamenting. And even if the horn and trombone and tuba player know how to, it's sort of our job to sit and be real quiet. So
you get your turn.
So this is we get our turn.
He gets all to right. shine, yes.
Okay. Yes. And then from that, we go from England to France.
To France. And Debussy, a wonderful arrangement by a guy named Mike Allen, who plays in a group called the Aries Brass Quintet of Girl with the Flaxen Hair.
Beautiful piece.
Beautiful, wonderful piece.
And then on to Percy Grainger.
That's right. Grainger was Australian. Everybody knows it. For some reason, a lot of people think he was English. He spent a lot of time in England, but he's actually Australian. And this is an original tune, in so much as that it's a folk tune. Most of his music is all from folk music. And this is the Sussex Mummers Christmas Carol. So we're going to play a Christmas carol before Thanksgiving. But it's really gorgeous. We use flugelhorns and it has a nice trombone solo in the middle of it.
And then on to a Norwegian composer that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah, this is Trygve Madsen. And my history with Madsen is that in 1983, I think, Frøydis Vekra, who was the principal horn in the Oslo Philharmonic, did a recital here on campus. And the first piece she played was a sonata by Trygve Madsen. And it has this bang-up opening. It just knocked everybody down, and everybody said, who's this Trygve Madsen guy? And that sonata has become a pretty popular piece for horn since then, and I know he's done a lot of other sonatas for other brass instruments. And last over winter break this last year, I was in Kansas City looking through some music and just happened to find this piece, this brass quintet by Madsen. And I liked his horn sonata so much, I thought, well, you know, I'll take a chance and buy it and see if it's a good piece. And it turned out to be a nice work. It's from 1988. So it's not a brand new piece, but it's certainly brand new to our audiences around here, and a pretty tonal work, probably the one of the more tonal 20th century works you're going to hear. It's a lovely piece. It's about three movements long, about 10 minutes long, and just a real nice piece. He's Norwegian, and you can definitely, especially in the lyrical passages, you can hear kind of a Norwegian element to the music, but it's a clearly classical work.
And move on to some music. You're going to tell us a little bit about Alvin Ettler?
Ettler, I should mention about this piece that it's an important piece in the history of the brass quintet because it was written for the New York Brass Quintet. That group was inactive from about 1954 to 84. And when they started playing, there wasn't a lot written for the brass quintet. There were a few late 19th century pieces. There were just a handful of early 20th century pieces. But it was really in the 50s that people started putting groups together and taking them on tour and really concertizing with them. And one of the groups was the New York Brass Quintet. And Alvin Ettler wrote this piece for that group around 1963. And it was one of the first times, not the first, but one of the first times that a real major composer made a really serious effort at writing for the quintet, big four movement work. It's about 16 minutes long. I mean, it's a major effort on the part of Ettler.
And it's for brass instruments, and he was an oboist.
He was an oboist, yeah. In fact, he actually played professionally for 1 year. He played in Indianapolis Symphony for 1 year and then was doing so well at composing, he gave it up and just composed exclusively. So as you can imagine, a lot of his music is for winds. He wrote several woodwind quintets I've done before. If you know any of his other music, this probably won't sound like it, because most of his other music I would almost say kind of neo-romantic. He has a lot of jazz style in his music. This is a really, really different work. It's a piece that is, I guess the best way to start explaining the piece is to say that his son was killed in the Korean War, and it's thought that this piece was kind of an homage to his son. I don't know exactly how autobiographical it is, but when you listen to the four movements, you can definitely hear the conflict emotions, you can hear the anguish, you can hear the anger, sometimes the resolve, sometimes the remorse. It's a really powerful piece. It's a really, really intense piece, both for us as performers and I think also for the audience. And so I think, if I'm not mistaken, you're going to play one of the movements. It's the second movement. It's an interesting movement because it's in 5/8, five beats to the measure. And he uses that rhythm because the particular rhythm that works throughout this movement is a three short, three long note pattern. And the idea is that that's Morse code for SOS, which kind of shows the emergency feeling in his mind when he was writing this piece. It's a lot of fun. You don't have to know that in order to enjoy the piece, but I think it explains a little bit about not only in this movement but in all four of the movements, a little bit about the intensity of the music, to know about the story about his son.
Okay, well, let's listen.
That was the Quintet for Brass Instruments by Alvin Ettler, and it was performed by the Meridian Arts Ensemble. It's one movement of the entire quintet that the Boston Mountain Brass Works will be playing on Monday night.
And I could hear the Morse code.
Yes, it's really there. And one thing that we were talking about while I was playing was that he uses amazing colors throughout the whole quintet, amazing mutes, use of mutes in different colors at different times. You heard some of that in that movement. The trumpet players, and even, well, I guess all of us are oftentimes have one mute in our lap and one mute in our hand, and it's been a sort of a logistic challenge. But
it's like driving
really
and texting.
Cool. Yeah, we don't do that.
Drinking a cup of coffee.
Except that you don't die.
Yeah, you don't die. We'll see.
Feels like no. It, but you don't.
But the colors that he uses all the way through the composition are just really remarkable. Use of mutes is really brilliant.
And that's one thing for me that's really amazing about this piece. When you play in a brass quintet or a brass choir, I often think of it as like being in a vocal choir, you know, where you have different ranges, but basically you have a homogenous sound because it's all human voice. And most brass quintet composers compose that way for the brass quintet. You've got the high brass, the low brass, but it's all brass. When I'm playing this piece, it's interesting because I almost feel more like I'm playing in a woodwind quintet, where in a woodwind quintet you have five completely different colors, and a good composer will take advantage of that. And Ettler does that by doing things like having each instrument play in absolute extremes of their range, as high as you can play, as low as you can play. using a lot of different mutes. He's got the trombone doing the glissandos. He's got the horn playing both stopped horn, that is, with a hand in the bell and with the mutes. We do things like flutter tongue, where we go drrr inside the horn. And so he takes a group that by nature is very homogenous and really makes all these colors come out of it. And it's really a unique piece in the brass quintet repertoire.
We only have one piece left on the program, and it looks like we're moving into jazz.
We're going to finish the program with some Bill Evans jazz dance for Debbie, waltz for Debbie. And this was actually arranged by a very good friend of mine, a former tuba player in the Air Force Band named Dave Swanson. And so after the intensity of the Etler, this will be sort of,
And then you'll send everyone home.
And we'll be done.
Richard Rooley, Tim Thompson, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, PJ.
Come back soon, all right?
Great fun as always.
Thank you.
I'm not really quite sure when, but about 15 years ago, Jerry Sloan, who is the trombone teacher at the school, and I said we wanted to try to get involved in some brass chamber music, and we didn't really have a brass quintet at the time. And somehow or another, I don't really even remember how, we got hooked up with the trumpet teacher at Pittsburgh State University, and we decided to put together a program of music for trumpet, horn, and trombone. And we thought, well, what are we going to call it? Because since it was from two different states and two different universities, we couldn't call it the University of whatever. And so we just said, well, let's see if we can come up with something that has a geographical reference. And, you know, I love the mountains. I can see them from my office. And I said, you know, Boston Mountain, I like that. So somehow or another, we turned all that into Boston Mountain Brass Works. That group really didn't last very long because the trumpet player left not long after we played our first couple of concerts.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, so we hated that because we liked him. He was a good fellow. But when we finally did put a brass quintet together, we were trying to figure out what to call ourselves, and Jerry and I both almost in the same breath said, well, that was a great name and nobody's got it, so let's keep it.
I want to know a little bit about this concert. It looks like we're going from the 18th century into the 20th century for the performance.
That's true, and that's sort of what we do with all of our programs. We try to offer something that might be a favorite from a period for everybody, and at the same time maybe try to open up their perspective a little bit with things that maybe they're not as familiar with. And we're going to start with three movements from, I believe, different symphonies by William Boyce.
The guy who wrote all those really long 5-minute symphonies.
That's right. That's right. And this is a wonderful transcription that the former horn professor at Eastman, right? Is he retired now?
Yeah, he's retired now.
Vern Reynolds did many, many years ago. I think this Brassworks did this, I think, in our first season 8 years ago, maybe. And this is the first time we've come back to it. And now it's got three movements in it. And
from three different symphonies?
I'm not sure, to tell you the truth. I tried to find out. I have a feeling they are from three different, but it could be completely, it could be not. It could be one work. I'm not sure.
Okay, that sounds fun.
So it's early music, light, and you got to come hear Tim be the master of ornamentation in the second movement. I don't play in the second movement, so me and my graduate assistant Tim Daly sort of sit there and listen to all of the ornamentation that he comes up with every time. So,
great.
It's very interesting.
When you play in a brass quintet, the trumpets always get to do all the ornamenting. And even if the horn and trombone and tuba player know how to, it's sort of our job to sit and be real quiet. So,
you get your turn.
So this is we get our turn.
He gets all right. Shine, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then from that, we go from England to France.
To France. And